Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
All right, hour number two. Great to be live and local here on a Saturday with you until 2 o'clock. It's John Dickinson and Nash Solomon.
Yes,
888-957-9570. 888-957-9570. We'll be back tomorrow here as well from 10 until 2. Kyle Madsen will be joining me then. So keep it locked here. If you're out getting around, staying safe. Obviously following all of the rules and regulations toward a safe opening in the Bay Area. We want you to, you know, get where you need to get and do it with the utmost of care so we can continue to move forward here. And we hope we can help you move forward here by being live and local again on the weekend here on 95.7 The Game. Grant Cohn is going to join us. We are going to talk some football. Although it did feel like a little bit of a slower week, Nash, as far as football compared to last week, where a bunch of guys tested positive for COVID, and you had the Deebo Samuel news, and a little bit of Jamal Adams conversation too. Should the 49ers be in on that? Antonio Brown. We'll get into all of that with Grant Cohn, who's always opinionated and a fun chat and a fun listen. So that's coming up an hour from now. We were talking before the break about, you know, the asterisk or the gold star, who's got a legit shot to win in the bubble in Orlando now that the NBA is back. Where'd you want to take that conversation, Nash?
Well, JD, if I remember right, I think back in August, I always like getting your predictions way ahead of time before they're even appropriate. You said you thought the Boston Celtics could win the NBA title, right? This was back in August?
Yeah, last August.
Correct.
So coming up on a year.
Wow, yeah, almost a year ago. That's crazy. That'll be over a year by then. Wow. And I thought that was kind of controversial to say. They just lost Kyrie Irving. They're bringing in Kemba Walker. But you obviously made a good point that Kemba can kind of get them back in the flow of things and playing more team basketball. Now, right now, JD, they're the third seed in the East, and they're obviously a heritage brand. And they've kind of been on the come up for a few years. Jason Tatum starting to come into his own. Jaylen Brown, go Bears as well. A team like the Boston Celtics, I mean, they're respectively a top five, top six team in the NBA. Are you putting an asterisk next to them if they win this title?
The Boston Celtics, I would not put an asterisk by. Although I think a lot of people would. I think a lot of people would want. And again, look, an asterisk is something that's subjective. Like there isn't.
Of course.
I don't think there's going to be an asterisk, you know, in the record books. Actually, you know what? There may be an asterisk in the record books officially, but the only thing the asterisk is going to say is the final eight regular season games were played in a bubble and the playoffs were played in a bubble. It's not going to be a statement of opinion.
Yeah,
right.
That's a good point.
An asterisk by nature is just, hey, this is what happened. If you're reading, You know, if you've got the 2019-2020 NBA season on a page in a notebook, the asterisk is just to tell you to look down at the bottom and look at the note.
Shortened season, right?
What was going on in that year? All the asterisk really does is explain what happened. It's a fact. Now, whether you put any opinionated weight behind it is your own personal choice. And I think a lot of folks are going to, depending upon who wins, put their own weight behind the asterisk and have their own asterisk as to what it means.
Okay, so for the purpose of this exercise, are you putting the purpose of the exercise, the teams that get the opinion-weighted asterisk, are Celtics in the same sort of conglomerate as maybe the Bucks, Lakers, and Clippers, or you put them right on the fringe tier right after that?
No, I think they're in the next group. I think Toronto could win it.
I do too.
And I actually, if we've had this conversation at different points, like, I think Toronto's actually got a good shot to get to the finals. But they're connected. They're already in Florida. I know they don't have Kawhi Leonard, but they were playing at a extremely high level right when everything stopped.
And the East is lacking those super, super teams, right? I mean,
exactly.
Giannis doesn't have a whole lot of help in Milwaukee.
No doubt. It would be just beat the Bucks. Win all the games in front of you, and then when you play the Bucks, beat the Bucks. Or maybe the Bucks get upset. So I think the Raptors, the Celtics are kind of in that, even Philly for some people I think would be in that conversation. I think the Rockets would be in that conversation.
Which is funny, those are 6 and 7 seeds. But just the way the league's looking right now, they're a game or two out from climbing their way back up. But
Rockets,
it's the superstar-driven teams, right?
The Rockets are a team that I think could benefit from the bubble and the rest, and kind of playing in a sterilized environment, right? Where there's less pressure, right? Because as Daryl Morey always says, it's, the Rockets should be, statistically, the Rockets should have won all these different years, right? They should have, every year the Rockets
according
don't
to his
win,
numbers.
They should win, right? It's kind of like the A's in baseball. It's like if you just look at the data, the A's should have won, but then they didn't.
But the moment catches up to them.
But maybe playing in a sterile environment, that is void of pressure, void of fans, void of some of the noise, the outside noise, maybe they thrive.
Well, and they play that pickup brand of basketball. And I feel like that's the kind of the vibe we're going to get from these bubble games. It's going to almost feel like a pickup style version of basketball just because of no fans, small gym, players hanging out. Like, hey, I got next, kind of that environment.
I hope not. And I think there are enough teams that play that way to where, if there is a danger, it's that the 2 weeks of the seeding games have a little bit of that feel. like my concern for the 2 weeks of seeding games, honestly, is more about the good teams than the teams that are fighting for a spot.
Like taking a few steps back.
Yeah. I think Washington has a lot to play for because Washington can get, all Washington has to do is be within four games and then they get a free shot at whoever's eight, right? To try and beat them twice. So I think they actually have a reason to play hard. Like, I think teams like Phoenix and San Antonio and, I don't feel like they have a lot to play for.
Right.
But there are enough teams. Like, I think Memphis and Portland and Sacramento and the Pelicans, I think those teams specifically are going to play their ass off. Like, I think those teams are going to be the teams that are going to, in essence, be the highlight of
the 2 weeks,
final,
right?
Of the 2 weeks. Like, I think we're going to look back. Here's a bold prediction. Like, I think we're going to look back and some combination of Memphis, Portland, the Pelicans, and the Kings are like one of those teams is like kind of the darling of the 2 weeks. Like, one of those teams will be the darling. Like, that plays hot, plays well. The games that they're involved in are the most entertaining.
You might see a few games flexed into a more primetime spot if a team like the Pelicans or Kings gets more hot than we expected.
Those are the four. Yeah, those are the four teams that I think are going to be the focal point, if you will, of the seeding games, and then maybe the, you know, the play-in tournament if they get to a play-in tournament. But my worry, Nash, and then we can get back into the teams that can win it or not. But my worry, I want to run this by you. My worry is that the teams that have spots locked up are basically going to treat it after the first day or two like it's a preseason.
Well, right. Lakers have that comfortable lead. Like, why does LeBron need to play any more than just to get back into shape?
Yeah. So it's like that's the part that, like, I look at, you know, all of the teams. Because, look, there's only one spot open in the West. It's the eighth spot. So everybody, you know, like I said, those teams, I think Memphis is going to fight to keep their spot, and Portland's going to try to get in there, and the Pelicans are going to try to get in there, and the Kings are going to try to get in there. I think San Antonio is really in the same physical position as those teams that I mentioned. I feel like San Antonio isn't going to care a day. Like if there's one team that I think could go 1-7 or 0-8, believe it or not, it would be San Antonio. We shouldn't be here. We don't want to be here. We're going to show up, and we're going to go through the motions, and we're going to leave.
Especially with LaMarcus Aldridge already throwing in the towel. It just makes total sense.
So I Phoenix, I think, is the team maybe more than anybody that just doesn't even belong there. But here's the thing about Phoenix. Phoenix, and I looked at this, aside from their game against Washington, Phoenix isn't playing any of the teams that are in the mix for the Western playoffs. They play Dallas, the Clippers, Indy, Miami, Oklahoma City. So every game that Phoenix plays has nothing to do with the Western Conference playoff race.
Right.
So they really don't belong. Like, they aren't going to impact. Like, they've got almost no chance to go on a run because they're farther back than the other teams. And they have a difficult schedule because they're playing all these really good teams, and they're not playing any of the teams that are in front of them.
Yeah, I mean, so, like, they don't control their own destiny at all. It's all reactionary to what the other teams do.
Like, they can't get on a run because they're playing, the teams that they're playing are too good, and they're not playing any of the teams that they're bunched up with. Like, if they were going to make a run, it would be they beat Sac, and they beat the Pelicans, and they beat Port. Like, they don't play any of them. So I think they're the kind of the weird odd team out. Like, they're almost irrelevant in a way.
Yeah, and especially because, like, considering that they kind of have the biggest hole they got to dig themselves out of, and now you got to factor in, you need to see Portland lose some games, and the Pelicans lose some games, and Kings got to start losing. I mean, I'm not sure. Do you have the schedule in front of you? Do any of those teams play each other where it would help them?
Well, no, they do, but that's just it. They do, which only hurts, you know, a team like Phoenix's chances.
Right, because one of them is going to win.
Exactly. Those other teams are going to win, you know, automatically win games. So,
I will say, I feel like the team that gets screwed the most out of this has to be Memphis, man. I mean, sure, you can make the case that the Pelicans were kind of on the come up towards the end of the year, and maybe that would have closed that gap with the Grizzlies. But if not for the bubble, Memphis is just plugged right into the playoffs. A young team that was playing so great, a young star in Ja Morant, and now here it's, hey, Memphis, you're the 18, but guess what? There's these six teams, five teams after you that's also going to get a chance to fight for your spot.
Yeah, it's not fair to Memphis. The one thing I'll say for Memphis is Memphis did have the most difficult schedule remaining. So they've got to play, you know, all of the games that they were going to play, including a game against the Pelicans and a game against Portland. They had games against San Antonio. So they play Portland. Here's the irony for them. They play Portland, San Antonio, and the Pelicans right out of the chute. The Grizzlies do. And then they play all the really good teams.
So they'll know where they stand after three games.
So if they could go like 2-1 in the first three, because they already have the 3.5 game lead, they're probably going to be okay in terms of at least getting to play for their spot in the play-in portion, right?
Yeah.
Like, they're at least, but if they lose two of those three or all three, they might go 1-7 or 0-8.
You just start tanking at that point for better lottery odds.
Well, no, it's not that they would try. It's just that it might happen.
Oh, that's true. And, I mean, considering how tough the schedule is.
Yeah, no, I mean, they have the lead. I mean, again, they have a 3.5 game lead, so they could lose their lead and still, like there's no guarantee that they're going to be the 8 seed when it's done. Like,
yeah.
There's a scenario where Portland and the Pelicans could be the 8-9 in the play-in. there's a scenario where Portland and the Kings or the Pelicans and the Kings, like, it doesn't necessarily, like, the Grizzlies could still careen off the mountain in terms of having it go awry, especially if they can't win one of their, you know, a couple, really. They got to win a couple of their first. Now, if they win all three of their first three, Portland, San Antonio, and the Pelicans, if they did that, they probably would be assured to be in the play-in as the eight seed.
Because well, that's what kind of also stinks about the bubble, JD. I mean, Memphis, sure, maybe they have the toughest schedule left in the season, but what about those games that were going to be like against the Knicks or against the Minnesota Timberwolves or the Warriors? Like, they get screwed out of those ones that could have been a guaranteed wins that get them closer to that playoff spot.
They do, and that's and I'm glad you brought that up, because as you get into it, the teams that had the most games left against the teams that aren't participating are the teams that kind of get screwed, especially if they're like Memphis had the most difficult schedule by far, but the only saving grace for Memphis, there's two things, right? It's the games that you have against inferior opponents, like the really bad teams. A couple of them, and it's your cushion. It's your lead. Like, those are the two things that protect you. So telling a team like Memphis, you still have to play all the hard games, but now you get none of the easy ones, even if you had fewer easy ones than anybody else, that hurts you. And, you know, so that hurts one of your obvious advantages.
Yeah.
I actually think, I know a lot of people are on the Pelicans because the Pelicans were a team that actually had a pretty difficult schedule and then wound up having an easier schedule toward the end, and they still wind up getting the biggest schedule advantage in terms of percentage. I actually think the Pelicans are a team that benefits from playing in the bubble and playing in it, because the Pelicans were the problem with the Pelicans is the Pelicans were a very lazy team. The Pelicans would when the Pelicans were at home against a bad team, they would play like crap, like routinely. If the Pelicans were home against a bad team, they would play like garbage.
Essentially, play to their opponent.
If the Pelicans were on the road against a bad team, they would play a lot better, and a lot of times they would win those games. The Pelicans at home against good teams would play up. On the road against good teams, they would play up. So to me, where it's a talent-for-talent environment, I think they've got a lot of talent, and they're going to know they have to bring it, and they also aren't going to be playing a lot of games against really crappy teams.
No,
like,
I mean,
they would be – so they benefit, I think, the most in terms of the schedule. The other team that I actually think benefits the most is Sacramento, believe it or not.
Yeah, so I got it up here. They got San Antonio, Orlando, Dallas. So two of those three teams off the jump aren't too hot, JD. And then Pelicans, obviously, that's one of those control-your-own-destiny type games. Brooklyn, I mean, they're kind of throwing in the towel, too. Then you get Houston, Pelicans again, and then you end up the Lakers. So two games against the Pelicans, I mean, that is a control-your-own-destiny if there ever was one, right?
Yeah, I mean, two games against the Pelicans. You know, I do think, you know, if you're going to play San Antonio, you'd rather play San Antonio later.
Yeah,
so I do think San Antonio will play, you know, so I think getting San Antonio the first game is probably the worst time to get San Antonio, because they might still give a that might be the one game where they actually give a damn.
The one.
and you know, and it's funny because you look at games like Orlando and Brooklyn and you think, well, those are winnable games.
You would hope, but
you go back to the earlier matchups this year when the Kings played both those teams and they actually got controlled in both of those games. So, like, no game is really winnable. You know, no game is like a sure thing. Even games, but playing the Lakers, you playing San Antonio at the beginning, you think maybe a disadvantage compared to playing them at the end. I think playing the Lakers at the end, which Sacramento does, is an advantage, because that's the last game before the playoffs. So there's a good chance the Lakers are going to use that game as a preseason game or a rest game. So we got off on a little bit of a tangent. I do think, though, that the Memphis, Portland, Pelicans, Kings, that group of four are going to be those four teams are going to be the teams that we are talking about at the end of the, you know, in the second week and at the end of the eight seeding games as the teams that are making the bubble the most interesting.
Which one of those teams offers the biggest challenge for the Lakers? Who will be the one seed? That's who they're going to match up with.
the Pelicans.
So you think that can actually not just an entertaining series, but maybe take it six games? I mean, I know Portland's another team in there too. Like, they've been there.
I like Portland, but Ariza not playing is actually a big deal because they don't. I know they're getting Collins and Nurkic back, but they really needed Ariza. Like, they traded for Ariza because they really freaking needed him.
Perimeter we'll defender.
We'll see if Carmelo Anthony plays or not. But I think Port. The thing about Portland, they've got Dame, they've got CJ, they've got name value. I know they're getting Collins back. I know they're getting Nurkic back. The thing about Portland, though, that people forget, they had no good wing players this year.
Uh-uh.
Like, none. And Ariza they traded for because they needed him. And they aren't going to have him. So I think, like, that's kind of a low-key big deal for them. So I know people think, well, it's Portland, and they were in the West Final. Portland stunk this year. Like, Portland really was really bad. Like, Portland was not a good team this year. So I think people, you know, you haven't seen them play in a couple of months. And they were on fumes. Like, Portland was on fumes.
Well, they didn't have the bodies.
They didn't have the bodies, and they were awful defensively. And they just, like, Portland was on fumes. Like, they were not going to make it.
And it took everything out of Dame. Like, he was putting up MVP-like numbers just to keep them.
And he was hurt.
Yes.
And he got hurt. And, like, he was playing on a groin that I don't think was fully healthy. And then it all got shut down. So I think they benefit from the pause. And they benefit from getting Nurkic and Collins back. And they benefit from, obviously, the fact that they've played two more games. So they can wind up, you know, other teams are going to need one more win among the teams that are behind them to beat them out for a spot. So they have advantages there. I think the Ariza thing is big. But as far as being able to beat the Lakers, I actually still think the Pelicans are the most talented team among that entire group.
Imagine the ratings on that series, too. I mean, you get LeBron and Zion, two of the most welcoming players you want to watch on your TV screen right now. I think it's kind of interesting, though, the whole idea of this 8 through 11 that can all get in there. And it, like you said, it sucks for Memphis because I think it was a great point you made. Not only do they have a tough-ass schedule they got to play through, but they lose that threshold. I mean, they're up by, what, 2.5 games? In reality, that you might as well call that you're behind by 2.5 games because you're behind by 2.5 games of that 4-game comfort that you need to get just so you don't have to worry about a play-in game. And that's what really, really sucks for a young team like Memphis.
Yeah, it's too bad. I think that the league is hoping that Portland is, I think the league is hoping that Portland is good, and I think the league is hoping that the Pelicans are the darling. Like, I think the perfect scenario for the NBA would be the Pelicans come out and the Pelicans go 6-2, and the Pelicans get in the play. You know, so the Pelicans almost become, with Zion, the darlings of the 2 weeks.
Yep.
Right, and they get in the play in, and they win. And then they play the Lakers. Like the NBA, like if the NBA could sign up for 2 weeks of Pelican Mania and then they get to play the Lakers in the first round before tapping out, I think that would be the dream scenario.
Man, imagine that game one TV ratings. Lakers, LeBron, Zion, Pelicans, first playoff matchup. My God, that's the NBA dream scenario, 100%.
Yeah, like that's the dream, and then, you know, just, you know, have Portland be there for it, have Dame battle into the end, you know, Sacramento I think is kind of a wild card. I think they'll they were as hot as anybody when things got shut down.
They got up to bad start too, man.
I kind of feel like they have a chance to get it going. I'm not, although I feel like the break would hurt them, like it might take them too long to get it going, although they do have an easier schedule their first two games. You know, San Antonio and Orlando are two winnable games for them. So I like, maybe they win two and then it starts to feel pretty serious.
Yeah.
Compared to what maybe some of the other teams that are in that glut, you know, with them do. So I think that's going to be very interesting, but they're also hurt, you know, as all these teams are. I mean, the thing that decides it is, do one of these teams in that group just win all the head-to-head games? Right?
Yeah.
It's all about, like if Sac, for example, just because I have their schedule in front of me, if they win, if they beat the Spurs, beat the Pelicans twice, you know, that's going to go a long way. If Portland beats Memphis, you know, beats the teams that are in front of them, San Antonio plays all of those teams. You know, if San Antonio beats the Kings, beats the Pelicans, you know, beats Memphis, you know, then maybe they're the team that winds up playing in the playoffs.
Right, because you're setting yourself up for position to get in the playoffs. Like, you're taking out those that are in front of you or those that are challenging you.
888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. Just kind of gauging your excitement for the NBA return. We kind of got off on a ratings conversation and what's going to be interesting. We'll get back into the teams that really have a shot to win it. And who are you rooting for if you're a Warriors fan? All of that, and we got Grant Cohn to talk some 49ers football as we'll switch gears at the top of the hour. It's John Dickinson. It's Nash Solomon here on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
All right, John Dickinson, Nash Solomon. We're with you until 2 o'clock here on 95.7 The Game, 888-957-9570. We're talking a little bit about the watchability factor of the NBA's return now that we have the schedule out. It feels real, Nash, for the first time in months. We actually know the dates for the NBA. We know the dates, at least in terms of a start for Major League Baseball. That schedule is going to come out here the early part of next week. And we know the NFL is going to continue to push forward and begin training camp as scheduled that final week of July. So we're getting closer, if everybody can continue to remain safe, to actually having sports back.
Yeah, JD, you mentioned we got some dates. I'm already looking at the calendar. I'm already putting in the books, JD. There might be a few days I might request off of work. You know, a little 1:30 Phoenix Suns game. I might be out that day. I might be a little busy.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, for me, like, as somebody that's kind of been, you know, one of the main, you know, fill-in guys in terms of hosting during the pandemic, and I've been on, you know, everybody's show at one point. I think I've spent a week on every show at one point in the last couple of months, and now back doing weekends. It's like I'm excited to work, and like I've been hosting a lot, you know, since we started the last, you know, 2 weeks ago we started weekends again, and I want to say of like after tomorrow I will have actually hosted I think 13 out of 16 days. Woo! After tomorrow
it's like Warrior season all over again, JD.
It's a good run and it's welcome, and I'm thrilled about it, but at the same time it's like man, I want to be, you know, everybody's taking their vacation and different things, and vacation's good because it means I get a chance to fill in. But it's like once things start, if that's when you really want to be working and hosting, right?
That's true.
But I feel like that's going to be the time where like people are going to get their vacations in and everybody's just going to work their normal shifts.
Yeah. And that's the time was you want to be working at that time. You want to react to all these games and what's going on in the world.
But
maybe,
yeah,
you,
no
we'll
doubt.
Get your, maybe we'll get, your little, we'll get our podcast back with our guy Gary St. Jean, right?
Yeah, I hear that. That's in the works. And, you know, I'm going to be pushed to do a baseball podcast, too. I'm just going to throw that out there. I know it's never good to like, you know, put your business out there right before you actually get a chance to talk to the powers that be. But I think with this 60-game season, we're going to have to get a baseball podcast.
It's a blitz. Rolling.
And as somebody that, yeah, hopefully I'll get a chance to get out and cover some of the games at Oracle Park with the Giants. But I want to be, and I know I've been talking to Butch about it a little bit, you know, because he's a big Giants guy. Maybe we go in on a second podcast.
There you go.
And make it a baseball one.
Yeah, I mean, you're right, JD. When all these sports come back, I know you, because you're either going to be shooting text to me and Steiny, or you're going to have to find a way to deliver all these takes. I already see it coming. We got to get you a medium to get you something every single day talking. Well,
and I'm kind of anti-Twitter. Like it's just like I love Twitter, but it's like it's just so negative. Like
yeah.
it just feels so negative.
Well, the TL might be a little different by then.
Yeah, hopefully. No, I think you're right. I think when sports comes back, and you saw it yesterday, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it was funny. It was the same people that were basically saying, sports never are going to return. We're like having a party yesterday for a couple of hours when the schedule came out.
Yeah.
It was odd. But yeah, whether it's a podcast or something, we're going to have to make it happen. We're going to have to make it happen, Nash.
Yeah, definitely. I think you should do a little IG live, JD. You got your little Latergram post to be putting out there of some flashback Friday, throwback Thursday photos of all the events you covered. What if we do like a JD IG live?
I would love it.
We got to get guests to come on.
It would be fantastic. You know, it's funny. Like, I have kind of looked into like different things like that. Like, hey, how do we kind of keep the conversation moving? I'm gonna put. Who are we gonna put on that?
For what, the IG Live?
Yeah, we'll put. Are you just saying like me go rogue or me do
well,
no, it like
you can invite like you can have other writers, maybe get a player to hop on with you. One thing I've learned through this pandemic, that's the thing that has flourished the most out of this Instagram Live. You see people that ordinarily would never do these interviews, especially on that sort of medium, now do it. I mean, we'll get you on there. It could be on your personal account. It could be on 95.7 The Game. You could bring on other hosts on the station. You can bring other guys that I know your buddies with some other guys that cover games out there. Get them on and just shoot it with them. You know what I mean? It's a medium for you to just give your takes, unfiltered JD, spit it raw.
Yeah, that's a brilliant idea, and that's actually an idea I've given a lot of thought. We'll have to get Carl. We'll have to get Carl.
Oh, Carl, sorry about that.
Yeah, if we're gonna do it for the for the station account, but again, I wasn't sure if you were saying go rogue and like just do it on my own or like because I would love to do it like for the station.
Oh yeah, definitely. I think you should do it for the station. We're always looking for more opportunities out there. I think it'd be great, too, because I think more people are starting to become subject to that. Like, they want that Instagram Live content. It's a chance to hear people unfiltered. I know our guy Joe Fortenbaugh and Damon Bruce Diddy hear all the various F-bombs drop. I think it'll be great.
Okay, good. So they'll swear on it? Really?
Yeah, I mean, it's their personal accounts, but they have. They definitely have. They're drinking unfiltered. A little bit. I mean, it's your own personal medium.
So keeping it to the personal account is probably the way to go.
Yeah, probably. We can look back because at later on the road.
Yeah, because I mean, I could put in an email and be like, "Hey, should we do this?" And then, like, you know how that goes sometimes.
Either way, I need JD to deliver his takes.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. So, all right, well, it's good. I appreciate you looking out, and we should be on the weekend here as well, which will be
definitely
which would be good here on 95.7 The Game as things come back. And we were talking about the NBA restart and, you know, kind of the watchability factor to it. If I have a fear, Nash, it's that the good teams are just not going to be into it the first 2 weeks. It's that the league is almost going to have to, after the first day or two, like I think everybody's going to be fired up and ready to go the first day, like the first, you know, let's say two games. I think everybody's going to be into it, and it's going to be pretty competitive. But once you get past that, I think there's going to be the realization that sets in, you know, that 13 teams, you know, 13 teams are in, right?
Yeah.
And basically there's...
Well, by that you mean like teams are already locked where they're going to be?
Yeah, like 13 teams are going to be in. Like 13 teams basically don't have anything, you know, to play for because they're so good, right?
Right.
So, like, the good teams basically are the teams that are going to treat it almost as a preseason, and the NBA essentially is going to have to rely, I think, on the teams that are in the playoff race to make the watchability factor worth it. And I think they're okay with that because they have Zion and they have Dame and, you know, they have a young Memphis team and they have the Kings on the fringe, you know, at the back end. Like, I think they feel like they've got enough to help facilitate that narrative, you know, in a positive light. But the one concern that I would have is your Lakers, your Clippers, your Rockets, even your Bucks and your Thunder, or your Bucks and your Celtics and your Sixers are all just trying to get right and get ready, and that those games with the premier teams are lacking a little bit of juice.
Well, I think I agree with you to an extent, but a part of it I disagree. Remember, I believe it was two seasons ago. Remember every seed in the West from 2 through 7 was within like a game and a half at each other, and there was all these crazy tiebreakers. That was 2018, correct?
There was also the 2015 year when the Warriors won where 2 through 6 basically changed on the last day of the season.
Right. So something like that. Like I'm looking at the West standings right now. I mean, pretty much everybody from you could even go as high as Denver, 3 through 7 are all within like 2-3 games of each other. I know it goes by win percentage, so it might be a little bit different this time around. But and even teams like Clippers are at 2 and Nuggets are at 3, and they're pretty much like a game and a half with each other. So I do think there's going to be some sort of competitive aspect to try climbing up the charts. Because, I mean, look at today. The Mavericks would have to play the Clippers today. I think the Mavericks would be much more interested in playing a team like the Nuggets or the Jazz. So they might play their tail off to get a little bit higher up there.
Yeah, but then that becomes more of a manipulation than a you know what I mean? Like, you want to win, but maybe if another team isn't winning, you don't want to win.
I see.
Like
it, oh, like, that is true. If other teams are falling.
And I do think the matchups, like, yeah, I would rather play this team versus that team. I do think that that's a really good point. I just also think, though, just there's a general who cares about seeding because there's no home court advantage.
Right, let's just play who we got to play.
So it's like there with no home court advantage, it becomes, you know, seeding is kind of eh. You know, it's just it's not what it would be in other years. So I don't know. I think if there is one concern, it's that the teams that everybody wants to watch aren't really all that watchable until the actual playoffs.
That is true. The first few days of the bubble are going to be super watchable. And then after that, if you're an average NBA fan, you might not be dying to watch Jazz Nuggets or something like that. I'm just kind of guessing. I don't know if they play. But one thing I was kind of thinking about, JD, and the text line's kind of mentioning it. What if the Warriors, so you mentioned there's no home court advantage factor in this. What if this was the Warriors a year or two ago? Do you think they would have thrived in this format or would have kind of hurt them? Because they did rely on Roracle at many times. They fed off that.
No, I think they would thrive, actually.
In a quiet environment?
I think the most talented teams benefit. I think the most talented, most cohesive teams benefit from this scenario. So, like, I think the Warriors would absolutely thrive in an environment where they were rested, an environment where there's no travel. I mean, think about it.
They would have had Kevin Durant the whole playoff run if this was last year.
If there were two things that the Warriors, you know, complained about during their great run, it's being tired and having to travel a lot, right? Like,
yeah,
if those are two
point.
Things that. Like, they would have – so I think, you know, as long as they were healthy going into it, I think the Warriors would be thrilled at you know, being able to play it out because talent, above all, would I think, win out.
And they would have had 100% healthy Kevin Durant last year, which means they're probably winning the 2019 title.
Like, if you told the Warriors they could – you know, they would have – you know, all the little nicks and bruises and scrapes that you know, just guys just weren't feeling right. If you could wipe all of that away and start with a clean slate, like, you basically are telling, like, so I do think it helps, you know, like the Lakers, for example. You start talking about the top teams, LeBron being rested, that's a big time positive for them. The Kawhi being rested and being able to manage Kawhi's ramp up,
Paul George, you know, too.
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine Kawhi is going to be, you know, he probably won't play all 8 games, but he'll, you know, I feel like Kawhi probably play like 5 games and, you know, maybe 4 games and get ramped up, but he's going to be really healthy and rested, which I think benefits the Clippers. You know, teams that are, you know, like Toronto, I think, which is a cohesive unit, I think they benefit. I think the Bucks. The team basketball that they were playing with Giannis at the forefront, and I think they benefit. So I do think, you know, I think the Rockets benefit as a team that's going to play, you know, as a team that historically is worn down.
Yeah.
I think they're going to benefit. If, you know, James Harden wears down, right? Well, they're also going to play small ball.
Have you seen how lately, too?
Yeah.
He looks in shape.
You can play small ball. And I think the Rockets are going to come back and just try to play small ball. And as you know, from the time of the Warriors did that, that can wear you out. So if you've got that boost of energy and you're in shape, you know, to a greater extent than some of these other teams, I think that can benefit it. I don't think there is really a scenario aside from a major outbreak where star players go out and it affects the outcome of series. I don't think, you know, you were talking about it earlier. I don't think the Mavs can win it. And I don't think like Portland can't get in and win it unless, let's say, LeBron goes out, you know, in a first round and isn't playing, you know? So I think there is potential for some crazy, but I just feel like it's going to be the usual suspects, maybe a Rockets, maybe a Toronto, maybe a Boston or Philly sneaks in. But I still think, you know, barring some kind of an outbreak, we're going to look up and the conference finals are going to be, you know, Lakers, Clippers, as we would have expected, and probably Raptors, Bucks, maybe Boston or Philly sneak in. Maybe the Rockets get in there and make a run. But beyond that, I think it isn't going to be too crazy. I really don't think so.
It's funny you mentioned Philly. The thing that's so interesting about them, JD, you realize 29-2 at home and they're 10-24 on the road. Like, that's one team that would have loved to be able to play at home in the playoffs. And now it's like, it's been so long. Are they really still that team that's going to struggle on the road? Do you consider these road games? I think the whole environment just makes it such a unique situation for, I think, any team, really.
Yeah, I mean, again, and talent wins out, right? Like,
yep.
And that's, like, I feel like they've, you know, they're in the next tier. Like, I think, you know, Lakers, Clippers, Bucks are first tier. You know, what's your second tier? To me, your second tier is Raptors, Rockets.
Boston, right?
Boston, Philly?
Yeah, I'd probably go there. You wouldn't throw in the Nuggets?
No, I really wouldn't. I don't think the Nuggets can win it. I don't think Utah can win it.
Well, what do you define by your tier two? Like the teams that have a chance of getting there but maybe not winning it?
Like I think Lakers, Clippers, Bucks are obviously the favorites. I think the Raptors could win it. I think the Rockets could win it. I think those are two wild card teams that could win it.
Like teams that won it, but you're not surprised. I guess we'll call that
like
tier.
Could win it. Like I think they could win it. I think the Rockets and the Raptors could win the chance. Like if you're saying pick two teams that under normal circumstances you would say can't win the championship versus now under these circumstances they could win the championship. I think the Raptors and the Rockets both are in that category. Couldn't win it normally, but can win it now. So I think they highlight that next group. If you're just saying, give me two more teams that could maybe win it, I think Boston and Philly would be those teams. They would definitely be those teams over Denver and Utah.
An interesting team too.
They're just so cohesive. I don't think Miami could win it. But I kind of don't think Philly could win it either, and
right.
Boston probably can't. So maybe there's a second tier, which is Toronto and
Houston and Boston,
of like wild cards, and then maybe there's a third tier of like Boston, Philly, Miami,
like the obscure winners. You'd be kind of
Denver, Utah,
yeah.
If you want to throw Denver or Utah in there.
Yeah, I think Miami's an interesting team. Just, I mean, look, you said this tournament, we'll call it a tournament for lack of a better term, I guess. It all comes down to really the most talent. Miami kind of was the opposite of that. It wasn't necessarily about all the talent on the floor, but they just knew how to play as a team. And that's kind of like what you said, how the Warriors, like they would have flourished in this because of talent. So maybe Miami does kind of get hurt in this situation. I mean, they were hot throughout the season, and it's been so long since then. I mean, their cohesiveness might not necessarily be there anymore. And that kind of goes for the same in the West. Like, how does Oklahoma City play in this thing? I mean, they were a team that nobody saw the talent on this roster, and this team was doing better than maybe the Russell Westbrook, Paul George Thunder would have done. That's the most bizarre thing about this, and it doesn't come back to talent. It's based purely about how cohesive the roster is and how well they just played together, but it's been so long.
Yeah, I think they could be pretty good. I think they're probably a team that I've underestimated. The Heat, I like Oklahoma City. And Oklahoma City was not very good at the beginning of the year, and then they got it together. And
miraculously.
When you start talking about teams that you're going to root for, like I'm kind of rooting for Toronto. I am kind of rooting for Oklahoma City. Dallas would be fun.
Yep.
I'm kind of rooting for Memphis to keep their spot.
Me too.
Just because I feel like they are at the biggest disadvantage based on the format and everything. Like their lead and what they had accomplished is in some ways being unfairly taken away.
Going from second pick to here we are. Like they were one of the funnest storylines this season.
Yeah. So I'm kind of rooting for them to keep their spot. I like Portland. I think the Pelicans would be great if they wound up making a run.
Who's on the JD hate list of getting in the finals? Like, you don't want to see, like, would you be like, I don't really care to see the Bucks in the finals, or because they're kind of expected there, or do you want to see them?
No, I would actually like to see the Bucks in the finals. I think it would be cool. I mean, when's the last time the Bucks were in the finals?
Kareem?
I mean, hasn't it been like 50? Hasn't that been like 50 years?
Yeah, what, 71?
Or maybe since they won a championship, it was that. I mean, I think it would be cool to see the Bucks in the finals. I would think it'd be cool to see Boston in the finals. Philly, I don't know. I just don't love Philly's mix. I just don't love how they play. Miami would be okay. I don't think I'd be, you know.
Well, because
I just don't
of
think
how
we can do it.
Because of how the bubble is. Go ahead.
No, I'm not really rooting for the Clippers. I love Kawhi, but I don't like. I'm not a Paul George guy. I think under normal circumstances, the Clippers weren't gonna. I think the Lakers were gonna beat the Clippers. I'm not sure now. We'll have to see how that plays out. Like, I think that's completely leveled off. Now, does the LeBron rest factor, is that offset, you know, the Kawhi rest factor, the Clippers coming around as a cohesive unit? Like I think that's a complete, unknown as to who's going to win between those two teams now, where I would have favored the Lakers going into the playoffs head-to-head. I think it would be kind of cool if the Rockets made a run. I know Warrior fans would hate that.
Yeah.
But there's kind of I don't know. I just think it would be kind of funny. The one year the Warriors aren't there to stop them, is this the year that they actually make a run? Not only the Rockets, but Harden specifically and Westbrook separately.
Wow.
Together.
Yeah, you're right about that. And that asterisk, talk about an asterisk. Warrior fans are giving the Rockets an asterisk immediately if that team gets to the finals.
Let's take a call. Let's go to Eric in Millbrae. What's up, Eric? You're on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, what's up? To me, I'm excited. I think this bubble idea works perfectly. I don't know how the other leagues are going to be able to do it out in the open. You see what this hotspot's breaking out everywhere. So I give credit to Silver and allowing him, basically saying we can't stop it, the league on any, you know, of a couple of virus breakouts here and there. As far as the plan, I wish it would have started earlier. That's the only kind of knock I have. I wish it would have started right about maybe another week or two. I think they would have gone to 1-16 format would have been better, but I understand they got TV contracts to pay out, so they had to have teams like the Wizards and Suns there. So they had to hit their basically, from what I understand, they didn't have to pay back the TV money. So as far as teams are rooting for, nobody in the West is a Warrior fan. I'm going to say I like Boston. I disagree with you guys. I think with no home court, no travel, this format where guys haven't played in a couple months, I think it's wide open for every team to win. I could see Philly, Boston, even a team like Houston, which I drudge, could win the title. I would root for Boston. I like Brad Stevens. I love the way they play. I love with the Kemba Walker's an upgrade over that head case Kyrie. So they're a team I would root for to win with the Warriors out. I hope them and I like to see them maybe in the Clippers. I think that would be an epic 7-game battle, or even against the Lakers, old school rivalry. So I like Boston, and don't sleep on the Sixers. You guys mentioned it. I think with Embiid and Simmons locked in, they got a guy like Josh Richardson. And when Horford's on, they can beat anybody. They're just dreadful on the road. But like I said, mentioned with those factors gone, it's wide open for any of those teams to win it. So I think it's going to be interesting fun, and I just hope everything goes smoothly and there's no stopping of it. So I can't wait till July 30th. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Eric. Good call there. Yeah, I'd root for Boston. I mean, and obviously that would make for a great, you know, pick when I picked Boston when you asked me back in August. It'd be like 14 months later that pick could 14 months later that pick could hit. I'm with Eric on the 1-16. I think that would have been great if they were just gonna take 16 teams. The other thing too is, and I know I've said this, and I know we're up against it, and we got Grant Cohn coming up. I do think it was great to see Adam Silver push forward yesterday and be so firm that the league is going to still push forward and try to do it amid a lot of the, you know, conversation about the increase of cases and outbreaks around the South, the southern part of the country. I do think the league, if they could have just got it going a little quicker, they would have been at an advantage if they were already, you know, if they were already at the point where everybody had been tested and had their quarantine and were like kind of there already, secure. I think there would be a feeling a greater feeling of strength as opposed to having to kind of wait out the next 3 weeks if things really, really get worse across the country, and the pressure that's going to come, you know, from outside sources and even the media to say, hey, we shouldn't be doing this.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. It's going to be really tough. But that's why, like you said, it's a fluid situation. They got room for any decision they need to make.
All right, we'll switch gears. We're halfway through here on a Saturday. John Dickinson, Nash Solomon. We'll talk some football. Grant Cohn will join us straight ahead right here on 95.7 The Game.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.